Hello and welcome to Cubicle Confidential, weekly advice for the working stiff. I'm Chris DeSantis, and let me introduce my co-host, starting with L's, the luminous, the lovely, and the legendary Mary Abajay.
Hey, Chris DeSantis. Gosh, I like being called luminous and legendary. And did you say lovely?
I did.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, I am Mary Abajay, everybody, and like to introduce you to my co-host, the loquacious. Ooh. And that's all I got.
Oh, but
the
loquacious, I love loquacious.
Chris DeSantis. I have to confess, like, I completely spaced on getting my adjectives together for this week. I've been traveling and I'm tired and I'm a little grumpy, but I am happy to see you.
Well, this will be a good episode then. All right.
Oh, yeah. This will be fun.
This will be fun. Well, you say you were traveling. Any gigs coming up that you're interested in? Anything happening in the near term?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, a lot of travel already this year. You know, one of my friends who also owns a business, she owns a marketing company, and she said, I was telling her how busy we are in March, and she said, that's because clients come out of hiding. They come back alive from their winter hibernation. And she's right. So it's been a crazy month. But yes, the gig I shouldn't say the most excited I am because I don't want anyone to think I'm not excited, right. But I am very much looking forward to going to Vancouver, Canada next month in April to speak at the NALP conference. I don't know how you say it. And Chris DeSantis,
yes.
I believe you're speaking at this conference as well.
I am. The National Association of Legal Professionals. We're both going to be in Vancouver, Canada.
And I'm so excited. I am speaking about how to build your professional brand.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. What are you speaking about?
I'm speaking on generational diversity about my book, of course.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to be hawking some books?
No. I'm just going there. Because first of all, I don't want to bring them up there.
So, you know, there's something called UPS.
Yeah, I guess you could do that.
You should take like four or five books and just hand them out to the audience as like, you know, like little secret prizes.
Well, I think that's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that. But actually, that's not a bad idea. I think I can do that. Good idea. Thanks.
Take five books. It's all about branding and self-promotion, my friend, which is what I'm speaking about. So I'm telling you, you need to take a couple of books.
Yeah. Maybe I should get those dots. You know, when you put them under a chair or something, anybody sitting on a dot gets a book.
You should totally do that. I do that all the time.
You do?
People love that. Yeah. It's super, super fun.
Yeah, okay. That's a good idea. I will. I'll bring some books. Right.
You know, I'll be there in Canada, so I can tell, I'll know whether or not you do it.
Well, I got a different gig coming up, too. I got one coming in at the end of this month in San Antonio. I am keynoting at the Southwestern Association of Rail Shippers.
Ooh.
I didn't know it. Yeah, that's so interesting. They said there's going to be like, a thousand people there. I'm not sure what to expect, but it sounds good.
It sounds really great. Plus, it's so fun to speak to a group of 1,000 people.
I know. I don't know. Of course, stage fright still gets in the way, but, you know, I guess once the lights are really bright, you don't see past the first two rows anyway.
Well, you know, the truth is for the large audiences like that, it really does matter like what the stage lighting is like. Because we remember that one we both did recently and the lighting was really bad.
Yeah.
People couldn't see us and we couldn't see them.
Yeah.
That's, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, these rail people have their lighting act together.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Oh, but anyway, speaking of this, let's move on to what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, gosh, we have to do a podcast.
Yes, we
do.
Yes, we do. No, this is a chit-chat.
And carp and bitch about lighting
right.
And things like that.
I like this topic for today, but I thought we'd start with you as a question because this topic is really about leadership. Those were the questions that we got, and I thought they were interesting questions. But I think people get confused between being a manager and being a leader. And since you wrote Managing Up, do you have a sort of a working distinction between the two, or do you see them synonymous?
Well, I mean, I think sometimes we use them synonymously, but if we have to like really pull them apart, I would say the difference is around a couple of things. One is kind of the level at which you're operating. So I think managers are much more in the work and leaders are much more of the work. So I think managers are really creating the conditions for people to execute the work and get it done successfully. And I think leaders are much more about setting the vision for what needs to be executed and setting the strategy. behind you. So it's sort of an altitude thing. I also think that, you know, I think managers still have to be leaders. They still have to both inspire their people to want to do good things and show the vision. And I think leaders also have to have some of those management skills. They have to still pay attention to the organizational structures and dynamics that are going to create the conditions for success. So I think they're different, but I think there is overlap. That would be my fly by the seat of my pants answer.
No, that was a wonderful answer. How about you? Well, I'm just to build on that, I'm looking at from the perspective just simply of the person that is subject to this person, you know, the manager or leader. I would look at it the difference between you have to comply to a manager, but you choose to commit to a leader.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I think that would be the essential difference in my mind, because we choose to follow people, but we have to listen to the authority of a manager.
Yeah, I like that. And that's the difference between, like, you know, managing the product and for inspiring people or just like giving them tasks. Yeah,
to your point about vision. Right. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we have, by the way, this is going to come up again because one of the questions really does talk about a resistance to being a leader, which I thought was interesting. Are you ready?
Can't wait. Let's go for it, baby. Let's dig in. Let's roll.
All right. Let's go.
Hello, Cubicle co-hosts. I'm a first-generation Mexican-American female and the first in my family to graduate from college. I have just been promoted to a manager's role at a popular casual dining chain that will remain nameless, but I'm sure you've dined with us. My question is, how do I come off as a strong leader? I know first impressions are important. Do you have any suggestions of what I should be doing when I meet my new team? Signed, El Jefe, La Chica, in Chicago.
That's funny.
That's outstanding.
That's funny.
All right. So I'm going to resist the temptation to spend the next 15 minutes discussing what restaurant we think
I know, right? Yeah. I'm thinking it's the same thing. I'm like, okay, popular chain restaurant.
I'm going through my mind Applebee's, Chili's, Chi-Chi's, like all these, like going through.
Olive Garden.
Yeah, Olive Garden. Oh, that's a good one. I didn't think about that. So first of all, to El Jefe, El Jefe La Chica, congratulations on your new role and condolences, because as Chris and I have talked about, managing others can kind of suck sometimes. You know, but I love this question. Excuse me. I love this question because the restaurant business is really kind of an interesting business.
Oh, right.
And I don't know. We get a lot of questions from people who work in the, you know, so-called hospitality or food service industry, you know, because in some ways, it's really different than like quote unquote corporate management, but some ways it's very similar, right? So there's some things that are going to be very similar. I'd give similar advice to someone who was like, you know, managing an HR team or something. But the restaurant business is also kind of different because it's really an immediate business, you know, like you think of like a hospital, like those people have to be served, they have to be served now, right? And there's like, there's systems and there's things like that. So I think this is, restaurant business is just, it's very time sensitive and it's very immediate and repetitive. Okay, so I'm putting that kind of as a caveat. So I think there's some classic new manager advice that would be helpful. And that's like, you know, when you meet your team, you want to find out what their expectations are of you. Like what do they want in a manager? What's been good or bad about their former managers? You know, like plus delta, what did you really like about your last team manager? What did you not like? What could I do more of, less of, or differently? And as we always say, you can look for low-hanging fruit, like find that fruit. See if you can't make any quick wins for them. You also need to be really clear about going to the corporate people, right? Mm. Because if it's a chain, it's probably owned by a corporation. And really find out what are their expectations of you and really get clear on what your boundaries of authority are, you know, because like, are you allowed to be flexible with schedules? Is there a certain thing that you have to, certain markers you have to hit? And then find out from these restaurant people, like how are they going to measure your success as a manager? Because if it's a corporate franchise, there's probably a lot of rules and regulations. So you got to know what you have power to do. And then I would say, like, build some rapport with your team. I mean, you're not curing cancer. So try to create an environment that's inclusive, equitable, but agreeable. I mean, people who work in the hospitality industry want to work in a place that feels human, right? Things like being very transparent and forthright about scheduling. As someone who, you know, came out of the restaurant business, you know, people who work shifts need to know what their shifts are. So don't be that dumbass manager that doesn't give people their next week's shift until the Friday before that week. Like, really do what you can to let people know how their shift works so they can make plans for their life. You do have to run a tight ship in a restaurant. Like, things have to get done in a certain time. So you do need to run a tight ship, but you also need to know when to flex and be human, when to give people a break, when to let someone have a day off. Be consistent in your rulemaking, but kind. And then I would say the last piece of advice I would have is every now and then you're going to get a customer who is wrong, wrong, wrong. You need to know how to stick up for your staff when that happens.
Oh, I like that last piece. That was really good. I mean, I liked all of it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, because, you know, I think people who work in restaurants take a lot of abuse, and you want to show your team that you are standing behind them when things go wrong that aren't their fault.
I think that's great. I think that really builds camaraderie too, because that you sort of you circle the wagons in defense of the people that are making you a success.
Yes. Yeah.
I like that. I think everything you said was spot on. I think if I build on that at all, I thought one of the points you made, I think are really important. Your boss first. Talk to your boss first and say, okay, what do you, to your point, what do you expect of me in the role that I'm in? And then, you know, I might even ask them, what was the best piece of advice you ever received as a new manager?
Oh, I love
that. You see, because now you're tying to this person and they're now more invested in you. So they see that you are hearing them, meaning that you are trying to emulate them to some degree. Then I lifted this from a book I read some time ago, Leadership in Motion. And I kind of like this notion of what does a new leader do? And I like this notion. You said it, you meet as a team. I think that's I think that's okay, but I think I would like to divide and conquer a little bit, meaning that I would
say more.
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to observe what's going on in this restaurant. You know, this woman already knows the business some degree. So how's it going here? And just see what's going on here and who's who at the zoo, as it were. And then just look and learn about what you see. And then I'd meet one-on-ones with all of the players at the restaurant and listen, okay, what's working right here? What you would like to see better? And so basically you're starting to take in their views of how things can be done, in which point you can also, I think, imbue or in the conversation say, here's what I hope to achieve. I'm just thinking about that. But my point would be, as you start to sprinkle the infield with some of your thoughts, then I think once you see what's going on, you listen to all of them, you say, okay, now they're saying that this is probably more critical than that. Now you start to rejiggle. What are the priorities around what we should be doing? At the same time, you should be very happy about saying, thank you, this is great, this is really important.
Yeah.
You know, just really, I really appreciate the buy-in. And then I would say, once you find, and I think Mary hit on this, what is the low-hanging fruit in the near term that everyone would recognize as an improvement that always needed to be made? And then credit everyone for helping to do this, and then do it, fix it. And I think that sets you up the right way as a leader in moving forward. Because I think one of the mistakes we make is, or anyone makes, is they come in and think, I'm the leader now, I'm in charge, this is how we will do it, absent of the fact that the people who have been doing it all along pretty much understand how to do it, to your point.
Exactly, especially in this restaurant.
Exactly, right? This is a repetitive business. And let me tell you this, because you know this as well, getting good help in a restaurant in this day and age is a lot tougher because there's a tight squeeze on personnel. So treating them well right up front, not scaring them. And I think your other point, Mary, I thought was really critical, because it's one of the things people find most irritating is these schedule shifts.
Yep.
That they can't organize their lives. And if this manager can promise that sort of, I will say, what is the word I want here? Regularity, then in fact, she's won them over.
I completely agree. And, you know, did it say what kind of manager she was?
It just said she's just the first female Mexican-American from her family to graduate from college. And it's, you know, basically, it's her first management job. She wants to come off as a strong leader.
Yeah. You know, because I was in my mind when I was first answering the question, I was thinking, oh, she's front of the house manager. You know, I just immediately went to like the wait staff, but she's probably doing back of the house too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of relationships, you know, that occurred to me as you were talking. There's a lot of relationships that she has to like really build.
Yes.
And also, I mean, she should also look for if there's any sort of front back of the house dynamics.
Yes.
In terms of like who are the informal leaders of these? Because we both know there's going to be some line cooks that are going to be like kind of, and so making sure that they're getting along well. So it's a really a big job to be able to manage a restaurant. I'm excited for
her. Yeah, and this is, but this is my point. Observe, just watch what's going on here. You're going to learn more just by seeing, and then by, you know, than people telling you. You'll see what's happening in action. But I agree with you. I think it's very exciting for her. She's very excited about doing it. She has a lot. She has shouldered this responsibility well in terms of, you know, I think she sees herself in her, not only in the manager's role, but in what she feels that she is representing in her role and as a role model.
Yeah. You know, and I think about back, you know, so back in my high school days and some of my early college days, I did a lot of, I almost worked exclusively in food service, the different restaurants. I actually worked in a big chain restaurant once. And I think the ones that, I mean, I was always a hard worker, but there is something to be said for making the workplace agreeable and kind of fun, because it is not necessarily fun work. So you do want to build kind of a, you want to build some, you know, esprit de corps with your people. You want to make it kind of fun for them to come to work. They want to, you want them to feel like this is, I hate to use the word family, but you do want to build that sort of, we're all in this together sort of thing.
Yes, yes.
I think that could be very helpful.
I agree. I think in this kind of environment, you want to lower the hierarchy in terms of want to be seen as more egalitarian. If we're going to be a team, let's act as a team. And that means she should be stepping in to run things if something goes awry, as opposed to saying, where is the person who busses this table? Where is the receptionist at the front of the desk? You know what I'm saying? If she has to fill in, fill in.
You are absolutely right. So, you know, when I used to own the bar, the Toledo Lounge, we were, my sister and I were the owners. We were on puke cleanup patrol just like everybody else. So when someone threw up in the bathroom, it was literally, we rotated who did it last time, whose turn is it? And Stephanie and I would put on those rubber gloves, you know, plug our nose and clean that shit up.
Oh, like, man.
But because we did want to make sure that everybody had to be willing to pick up and help out anybody. We would have a cook calling sick, and one of the waiters would be like, I'll go up there and I'll do the cooking. Like, you know, it was burgers and stuff. It was not easy, but everybody always pulled their weight because we felt like we were together. And I honestly think one of the reasons why our team was like that was because Stephanie and I would always stick up for them in front of the customers. Unless, of course, they did something really outrageous to a customer, we would hold them responsible. But, you know, most of the time, it's the customers just being assholes.
Yes.
And we just would, we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't tolerate that.
I'm with you, though. The customer is not always right. The customer has options. And if they want to be an asshole, I would refer them to some other chains that I'm not fond of and saying they'll enjoy you.
You know who'd really like you? TGI Fridays. You know what? I think you should go down to TGI Fridays. I hear they have great specials.
Oh, that's fun. Well, I think we helped La Chica in Chicago.
La Chica.
Okay. Gracias. Okay. Let's ready for the next one?
I am so ready. Let's giddy on up.
Dear Mary and Chris, I work for a great manager, but a lousy leader. I say this because I work with him daily and he's clear, thorough, thoughtful, and organized. In short, he does everything a good manager should do. The problem is that he's responsible for managing other managers and indirectly their direct reports. When he speaks at big meetings, he's soft-spoken, clearly nervous, and he sounds anything but decisive. How do I help him be perceived as a better leader, or does it even matter? Signed, Management 1, Leadership 0, in Zion.
They should have called it Management 1, Leadership None.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Oh, is it okay if we change, if when I write up the show notes, if I change to this person's, or would that be really bogus? So, you know, I think this is a really interesting question.
Mm-hmm,
like, this is really kind of about perception. It sort of hits on what you started the show up talking about, the difference between leadership and management. And, you know, I'm curious, like, this person, well, a couple things are going on for me here. One, this person is equating leadership with leadership presence or leadership public speaking. Like,
right.
If you have to have this, or you don't, you're not one. So that's one. I'm not so sure I necessarily agree with that person. But I also am noticing that while this person seems to be able to overlook his lack of public speaking prowess,
right,
and still respect him as a manager, they're afraid others can't do the same.
Right.
So I'm just curious.
Bingo.
So, so I'm not sure you should do anything, but if you think it would be helpful, and if he is as kind and lovely as you say he is, then you could give him some feedback. You could say, you know, hey, Dan, we'll call him Dan. Hey, Dan, you know, I think you are the most fabulous boss. I know everybody appreciates you. I'd love to see you be able to command the room better, or I'd love to see people that don't get to work with you see you as the great leader. And I don't know if you, you know, something like that, or say, hey, you know, you seem a little nervous when you're giving meetings. Like, is that something I can help you with? Like, you could give that feedback. You could go to him and say, that's one option. Or you could go to him and say, you know what? I'd really like to enhance my own presentation skills. So I'm wondering, how about if we bring in Chris DeSantis or Mary Abajay to like give us a half day workshop on presentation skills? I think, and if you could participate, I think everyone would really enjoy it.
I think it's a brilliant answer.
I think it's a brilliant answer. So I mean, I think if you're going to do it, then I don't think you have to do anything, but if you were, you'd have to be honest and kind, or, you know, I don't know.
I liked your answer. By the way, I think your point right up front was, that's what you think. Why aren't you asking the other managers what they think before you launch any of this? Yeah. Because I think that's important. I also think, to your point, this is an executive presence issue. Now, is that really relevant to the people he leads if the people he leads like him as he is? But it may be relevant to the people upstairs who don't know him as well. And so this could have some kind of bearing on his sort of ascendance, if it's as bad as she's saying it is. And so what I might suggest doing is, I would suggest recording all the a batch of presentations. I would suggest recording of people.
Would you tell them ahead of time you're going
to
record?
Yeah, I would say not just him. I'm thinking, to your point, maybe saying, look, we're looking at how people present all this. I did some snippets of presentations, make a little reel. Here's what we saw.
I like it.
You see what I'm saying? So he can see himself. Now, the other thing I might do, because, if he sees himself and he says, oh, gosh, I look a little nervous, or oh, gosh, I thought I would come off a little more powerful. You know, if he recognizes any of that and all of that, I would tell him, in my opinion, he has two choices. He could try to change, or he could simply own it and just say, look, here, people, hey, I have just come to the, it's my attention that I'm a little soft spoken. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn up the microphone, but it's just, I'm a little imperfect, or I might appear a little nervous. I'm not nervous so much as I am excited to be with you. So my point here is, maybe I do have stage fright. Does anyone else in the room have it too? My point is, vulnerability will endear you and make you more authentic to them than trying to pretend to be something you are not.
Yeah.
I would play with
it. Yes. Yeah. I mean, playing with it, I like playing with it, especially if you're going to play with it and you are going to try to get a little bit better.
Yes, exactly. We can do both.
Yeah, you can do both. Yeah. Because I think, you know, I think by the way, the word ascendancy is great. I love that word, ascendancy. If it is about his ascendancy, it's one thing to be like, yeah, you know I really suck at presentations.
Yes. No, I know.
But you guys will love me anyway.
Exactly.
Like, you'd say, like, you guys, I know I'm not the best public speaker, but you guys show that you're improving. Because if I'm looking at someone who works for me and I see them say, yeah, I suck at this.
Right.
And that's all.
That's it. We're done. Okay. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to find someone who knows they suck at something and is going to try to get better at it.
No, I agree. I think that's good.
So I think we both agree that it's not a problem unless it is a problem.
Yes.
And it's really only a problem if more than one people are, if other managers are like, taken aback by or not engaged with him for whatever reason, or if it's the people above him are going to see it as a problem. Did I say that right?
Yeah, no, you know, the other thing, because that rings another, why doesn't she tape him and tape his peers speaking to large groups?
Yeah.
See, that's interesting, because if all the peers suck, nothing's going to happen. But if the other peers look pretty good, he's in competition with them anyway, he might want to say, you know, we could bump this up a notch.
Yeah, you know, I think we have some good ideas, but I think the best idea was really my idea to hire us to come and teach a better presenter.
It's like, a darn good idea.
We could knock that out
in
3 hours.
No, that is
and
true.
Like, I still have people that will come up to me I haven't seen for like 20 years and will come up to me and say, Mary, when you said XYZ in that presentation skills class, I still remember that and use that today.
No, like, you're right.
It can be really powerful. And you know what? And we'll give you a discount if you call us.
Well, the other thing of bringing us in from the outside is we have nothing else. We have no axe to grind. We have no other interest. We don't want to curry your favor. We get paid either way. We just will fix this problem.
I actually derive great pleasure from seeing people come alive on stage. Like, I derive great pleasure from seeing people like be able to manage their nerves or gain more confidence when they're presenting or public speaking. Nothing gives me more of a joy, I think.
It's funny. I like the feeling that the person I'm talking to off stage can be the person that on stage, if they want, you know,
yes.
if you help them to
yeah.
do that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I've yet to meet a person that isn't nice in terms of wanting, you know, in terms of being conversational, being all, well, that's not true, but mostly nice or, you know, conversational, all the things you want in another human being, yet they freeze in another environment. And so if I can just say, okay, how do we lift the veil of this and put you in a way that you look the same in both situations?
I love that. I love it. Yeah. That's so great.
Okay. Well, that was good. I think we helped you there. We helped that somebody. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Okay. You ready for one more? I think we have enough time.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I know this might sound weird, but I don't want to be a leader. I've just been promoted to the role of manager for the accounts payable department. I am now leading a team of 7 people. We use the term leader here rather than manager, so I know I'm stuck with the title. My challenge is that I don't want to lead them. I expect them to want to do the work if I'm leading or not. My philosophy has always been that the leader is less important than the doer because I've worked for lots of bad leaders, but I never lost sight of the fact that I had a job to do and that job should be done well. How do I get my new team to think more like me and at the same time not lead them down the path to do so? Signed, Leading Less is More, Like It in Lubbock.
Now this,
oh my God, Chris,
is an interesting.
This is a question. You know, we could spend a whole show on this.
This is a very good. This, whoever you are, Lubbock, you are amazing in terms of what you're saying here.
I don't even know if we have time to actually do this one justice in the show.
Well, I think we're going to have to. Otherwise, it's sort of a shorter
Why?
Show.
It could be one of those. It could be one. No, we're almost at 30 minutes, my friend. This
you
could
mean a cliffhanger?
Cliffhanger.
It's a cliffhanger.
It could be a cliffhanger. Seriously, Chris, this is a big question. I have like 20 minutes worth of ideas on this.
Well, I will go with the flow on this. I'm happy to do a cliffhanger.
So, Chris DeSantis, I think we need to do a cliffhanger here.
Well, this will be our first cliffhanger. It's like the end of the season, right? And that was the next, right?
Know.
Oh, that's so good. All right.
So what is, so let's remind our listeners what this was Leading Less in Lubbock.
Leading Less is More, Like It in Lubbock. And she is reluctant to be a leader because she expects people to own what they do. So, but what do we say about
that? I assumed it was a man trying to shirk his responsibility, but.
You know, it's an interesting question you're asking, but there's nothing in this that indicates if it's a male or female.
All right. So I'm going to assume male. You're going to assume female.
Yes.
So when we come back next week, people, we're going to take on Leading Less in Lubbock because I have some definite thoughts about this and I think Chris does too.
Oh, yeah. This is a most complex person.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to today's podcast. A big thanks to our senior executive producer. That's right. He got another
senior
promotion.
He's been bumped up the food chain.
Without a raise. Senior executive producer, Mr. Jack Ettinger. If you have a workplace question or a cubicle dilemma, give us a shout. No question is too easy. No question is too hard. And no question is too silly because we're here to help you. You can tweet us at @CubicleConfide1. You could email us at cubicleconfidential.com or you can find Chris DeSantis or Mary Abajay on LinkedIn. People, we are everywhere. Now, until we see you next week, we want you to be kind, work hard, lead like a leader, and if you can't,
call us.
All right, see you next time.